Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
If you'll open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, please, verse 24. Chapter 9, verse 24. The title is Challenge Yourself or Brace Yourself. Challenge yourself or brace yourself. When I got saved a long time ago, I tell people when the Mayflower landed, and I greeted Chris when he came off the ship back there, you know, and it's not because I necessarily was that plugged in back then. It's just that sometimes I feel older than dirt. Sometimes I feel younger than young. And both of those are true. I'm a blessed man. Having died a year. Screwed up. Okay, like A to Z, left to right, up to down, backward, forward, whatever it was. I had finally gotten to the point where I couldn't hold up one tiny little part of my intellect or other part of my life, my college degrees or whatever else, and say, see, I couldn't do that anymore, not even that. I was fried. I was toast. It was gone. And really, when I came down out of Bellingham, my hometown, into Seattle, some called it a drug rehab program, but what it was all led by Spirit-filled believers. They were grounded in the Word of God, filled with the Holy Ghost and power, and every single one of them had come out of those kinds of situations. The leader of the whole thing had come out of basically a lifestyle of having done 26 and a half years in four different stretches in the penitentiary. And when I heard about that man, I realized that's what I need. Thank God I didn't know what I was asking for until I got in there. You ever ask for something and you go, wow, I would have never asked for this had I known what that was about to begin with. But I got in there and I realized this is not really a drug program. BASA, the Bureau of Alcohol and Substance Abuse, says it is. But what it is, it's marginally that. What it is an absolute up-in-your-grill discipleship program. Absolute up-in-your-business, up-in-your-grill. I had been taught, when you listen to Pastor Matt at times, he'll talk about when he was younger in the church that he was in, that he was a youth leader carrying on and they actually preached to the church. I'd forgotten that. When I was in Bellingham and I was at one of the churches I was in and being raised by my older sister and brother-in-law, I was the president of the youth group going through the church there, you know, 14 to 16, 17 years old. They brought me in and they had me preaching to the Sunday night service. I wasn't even saved, man. I didn't know that then. I seriously didn't. Because I had a streak of rebellion 8 miles wide down through me. And it's the old thing, you know, you may tell me and give me an order that I have to sit down in public when you're a teenager, but on the inside I need you to know I'm standing up. Yeah. Know what I'm talking about? Yeah. Nobody's been there before, of course. Raise your hand and wave it to the Lord if you've been rescued from that mindset. That's where I was at. And you couldn't tell it from the outside in. Because I could preach it, I could talk it, I could do whatever else and everything else in that thing. But the thing is that when the dew was off the lily, once I got out of high school and everything, went down to the University of Washington for my freshman year, bam, school was out. This was not the president of the youth group. Everything that I had put on the back burner, I turned loose. And that went on for a number of years. We're talking about from 17 until 31 years of age. That was a harsh 14 years. God is merciful. Amen. Because for any of us, but I mean, there's just no way. There's just no way that I should survive that. But when I came into that program, I realized I made it. Because one of the verses that was pounded into us when I was back at Geneva Community Church up in Bellingham, Washington, they're not even there anymore. They were non-denominational little church, community church, was Romans 12, the whole chapter. And when I came into that discipleship program, the main text that we grounded everything on was Romans 12, 1 or 2. I thought, whoa, that's scary. Like 14 years later, that is scary stuff, or whatever it was, 17 years later, whatever I said, 70 years later. Because in Romans 12, it isn't one of the verses up here, but in Romans 12, 2, it says what? Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Prove means test and know it. It jumped all over me like white on rice. I knew, wow, I didn't need confirmation to know where I was supposed to be at, and that was it. But it jumped all over me because I'd heard the preachers before. And the thing about it, when you put preachers on the back burner and you don't do it, you know what happens when you finally bow your knee to Jesus Christ? They cascade in on you. They flood in on you. Yeah. They just come crashing out of your path in a good way. It convicts you, but you just go, wow, that's what I missed back there. Because Romans 12:2, when you think about it, it says, be not conformed, but be transformed. Those verbs mean ongoing.
Yeah.
Mean continually not conforming.
Yeah.
And continually, as long as you're alive, transforming your mind to the Word of God.
Yes.
Displacing your old ways of thinking and replacing it with the Word of God. Now, it doesn't matter if you just want to get saved as by fire, but if you want to go through life and actually what? Challenge yourself and know and test what's the right path and what's the wrong. No point in challenging yourself if you're not going to know which way to turn and when to turn.
Yeah. Yeah.
If you're not going to have a roadmap, and the only roadmap I know of that I knew right then, even though I didn't know it all then, was this.
Yeah.
This is the only roadmap. And when you get transformed, there's many analogies, but one of them is the old caterpillar to the butterfly. Have you ever seen a caterpillar metamorph into a butterfly? They do that, you know. Have you ever seen one that ever successfully halfway metamorphed?
No.
A halfway butterfly?
No.
Haven't seen that.
No.
They're called dead. They're called unsuccessful. They're called something went bad. Okay, there was a miscarriage in the transformation. And that spoke volumes to me when I came into there and began to get into that discipleship program. Is look, Steve, here's the deal. You and God, it's time to get down to business and completely take what was, flush it, nail it to the cross. We're to take up our cross daily, nail it to the cross, and begin to replace the exact opposite of that from the Word of God.
Yes.
Nothing less. Everybody say nothing less. That's what gives you success in life. That's what gives you success in life if you're just basically doing business work. You ran sales teams and everything else. Did you ever have halfway committed salesmen that actually were very successful? Out of here. Out of here. Halfway successful is failure is what it is. Well, if it works that way in just normal life, guess what? It works that way as a Christian. Not failure in that you might miss heaven. Yeah, you get that. But living like hell on earth is a bummer.
Yeah.
It's a bummer when you find out you don't have to do this.
Yeah.
It's free what you get to do, but it comes with the price of getting up on that cross and really finally declaring war on your old self. Challenge yourself, or your only other choice is brace yourself what's coming.
Yeah.
The song that came to me was that old song that's an old folk song that really has no author to it. It's the one that goes, I almost sang People Get Ready, There's a Train Coming, that's a different thing. But the old one that goes, this train don't carry no gamblers, this train. This train don't carry no gamblers, this train. This train don't carry no gamblers, no hypocrites. No midnight ramblers. This train don't carry no gamblers. This train don't carry nothing but the righteous and the holy. This train. See, I used to play on train tracks when I was a kid. That's what that speaks about. Up in Bellingham. It was one of those things like the manhood, the right of manhood. Go down and play on the train tracks and put nails on there and stand 2 feet away and hope to God your mother never knew you were doing that. Well, the train went by because it made great big spikes into great swords. Well, you put them on the end of sticks. It's a wonder that anybody in our neighborhood ever came out with eyeballs. Garbage cans and those things on the end of a stick. Bam, man, beating each other up down there, carrying on. But you know what? In life, some of us act like we can play on the train tracks and it'll never have a cost to us. Some of us act like we don't have the sense God gave a goose that if you're going to play on the train tracks and ignore everything else, guess what? When the train comes along, you ain't getting on it. You're going to be ground meat underneath of it.
Yeah.
And Jesus is so good to you. He's going to raise you up. He's going to patch you back together, put one of you on the right, metaphorically on the left and everything else. And you are no better off than you were the first time because if you don't challenge yourself, brace yourself. Your train is coming.
Yeah.
Brace yourself. Your train is coming. In fact, if you're like me back in my walk in the early on, the train came a lot of times. It never hit me full on. But man, it slapped me around. Can you say amen? I got tired of that early on. I realized it's time to challenge myself. Because see, here's the thing. If you don't take it upon yourself to challenge yourself, God will take it upon himself to chasten you extra good.
Amen.
See, one way or the other, God's either going to chasten you or you're going to be proactive and begin to challenge yourself. It's going to happen anyway. Why not get into training? If you take a look in 1 Corinthians here, 1 Corinthians 9:24, a familiar scripture, it says, "Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things." That was not my lifestyle before I became a Christian. Temperate. Run your life in the ditches. Extreme in everything you do. Everything you do. If something's good, more is better. If that's better, then more than that is even better than that. "And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run," Paul is speaking, and he's speaking to us to emulate this. "I so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body discipline, bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway." Paul, the writer of 2/3 of the New Testament. The apostle that when he was raised up into the third heavens and saw what couldn't even be put into words. It isn't, can't be spoken in our language. He did the best he could. Peter would come along and say, "Somebody want to tell me what he just said?" Because Paul was like the theologian of theologians. Take a look at the book of Romans and slow down. I know that your husband was teaching on that with the book of Romans and stuff, and I'm telling you, woo, you talk about smoke coming out your ears if you want to do a deep study in that. Paul could get into it. But Paul said, and he's not talking about here training for the Olympics. He's not talking about here as far as training for literally running races or literally boxing, although the principles work for that too. He's talking about mental and spiritual discipline. If we're going to call ourselves disciples, and we're supposed to if we're followers of Christ, disciples by virtue of the name means the disciplined ones. Before we were ever called Christians, we were finally called Christians in Antioch. But long before that, when we were Christians changing the world and everything else way back there 2,000 years ago, we were referred to as one of those people that's the people of the way. You watch them. We don't know what to call them, but they act. They all act like that guy, Jesus of Nazareth. They all act like him. They talk like him. You slap them in the face, man, and they don't haul off and want to give you a knuckle sandwich. What is the deal with that? We're in the Roman Empire. Your manhood is determined by your hormones and whatever. These people are totally different. Transformation. If it was possible then, that Holy Spirit that helped then is here now. And the church is at a point right now. And we can talk about out there, those that are unsaved, but we better be taking a look also in the mirror in the church. Because right now, and again, when I put this out, the Holy Spirit is here to comfort and to heal and to lead us, okay? And when I put it out and say, you, I'm including me. I don't have to include that every 5 seconds. This word, I have to apply it to me and apply it starting 40 years ago and on through till now, even when I prepared this. So don't think I'm excluding me. This applies to all of us. But don't think it excludes you either. Just because you've been bun warming a seat in a church for 20 years. Don't think that. Because, you know, you can, what, the old thing, you can be raised in a garage. That don't make you a car. That don't make you a car. Sitting in a church all your life don't make you a Christian. Is what are you going to do with this thing called Jesus Christ in this word? So what we're talking about is boxers need trainers, right? That's what it's saying here. They're going to run track. They need a trainer. Is that right? They need somebody to train them. Anybody that's going to play an instrument, you have somebody who's going to teach them. Vocalists, they're going to teach it most of the time. Teach them how to sing and everything else. Teach them how to read, you know, bass clef, treble clef, the rest of it, and how to do harmony and all the rest of this stuff. Either that or you're just going to get up there and think you're a genius. You're going to really be embarrassing yourself when you try to do something on any of those parts. And yet when we take that, we say, well, of course. If you're going to box, of course you'd be a fool, a zip fool, to get in the ring and just get in there and say, I'm just going to go on raw power. Yeah. Really? Right. Well, I hope you can remember where you were yesterday, because your raw power is going to be looking at the ceiling with bright lights in about 2 seconds.
Right. Right.
Don't kid yourself. You ain't that tough. Especially, we're not even talking about mixed martial arts. I came up in the era of when Ollie, well, actually Cassius Clay, knocked out Sonny Liston. He's a beast. Sonny Liston was somebody that looked like, forget about hitting you, he'd eat you. He's going to eat you. You remember what I'm talking about? He eats you. Nobody wanted to fight him. Marvin Hagler, a left-hander. Nobody wants to fight a left-hander. You're trained to box right-handers, and now you're suddenly, and you got to think. You don't want to think when you're fighting. You don't want to, you want to be instinctive. So you're going to turn around and do everything back. Nobody wanted to fight him. You had to throw out all your training for one thing just to fight him. If they didn't want to do it and they submitted to it and said, this is the way it goes. And they were literally almost brutalized in their training. They'd be running until they're ready to die. They'd be out there getting arm weary because your arms get so heavy when you're throwing punches. Anybody know what I'm talking about? When you're in a ring and you're heavy bag and everything else, your arms after a while, they begin to feel like there's boat anchors on those things. And of course, the second you drop them, eat it. Right here. There's where the target is. Put me into another planet. And yet when we talk about us challenging ourselves and training ourselves, we go, well, you know, I'm working on a few things. I'm not telling you to overamp and do everything at one time. In fact, that's where we get disappointed. Isolate one part that the word says you need to change and then attack that like your life depends on it. And watch and see what God will do in your life. You've been waiting for that move of God. You've been waiting for that miracle. You've been waiting, finally, for something to change out of what you've been doing before, and it hasn't happened right. It will happen right. Yes. It's guaranteed. It's guaranteed by something way bigger than the United States government. Thank God. Yes. Guaranteed by Jesus Christ. If we turn over, if you will, over to Romans 8:13. Your task is to either challenge yourself or brace yourself for what is going to come, whether you like it or not. Because, see, life is like this, with or without Jesus. Somebody gave me the picture that if you're driving up through the North Cascade Pass up there, that's a real high steep incline, and you're in an 18-wheeler, and you're climbing that thing, and you've been really working that engine and everything else, you say, I'm going to give my engine a rest. I'm going to shift into neutral and kick back. How's that going to work for you? You seen those cliffs up there that drop down in that North Cascade Highway up through there? That doesn't work for you in life either. Because in life, there's only forward or backward. That's where we fool ourselves and say, I can take a break. No, you can't. There's no rest stop. You keep your foot on the gas and you keep your hand on the wheel and everything else according to this word of God and challenge and train yourself. God's going to give you the power to do it. He's not going to lead you down somewhere where you're going to get a heart attack or die from overexerting yourself in the Word of God. I've never seen that. Yeah. I just was so involved with the Word, I just had a stroke, really. Right, sure. We'll help you with lying. Come down, we'll pray for liars here at the end of the service, man, because you got it totally off track. You have got to decide to attack and to challenge this parts of you that need to finally be changed. I fell in love with that. You can fall in love with this thing. You know, when you take a look over in Romans 8, 8:13 that I talked about? 8:13. For if we live after the flesh, we shall die. But if we through the Spirit, capital S, the Holy Spirit, if we through the Spirit do mortify, kill the deeds of the body, you shall live. Yeah. This is life and death.
It's life and death. Yeah. Yeah.
So you may make it through to the end, and the word says there'll be those that'll be saved as by fire. I can just picture, you know, you're standing before Jesus, you know, you got your wings or what? Well, you ain't going to have no wings. But I mean, you're standing up there before God and you got, you know, you got sort of singed hairs on your bottom and hairs on your legs. And if you got holy hair, I don't have much to get singed. But if I did, you stand in there and say, glory to God. You'll be happy you got there. But that's not what I want to bring before my King. That's not what I'm prepared to bring before my King. What he's done for me, am I not ready to at least lay down something and get on with this business? Yes. Quit doing the two-step forward and three steps backward. This is what it says. Because if we through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, we shall live. It's life and death. It's that simple. You don't want to kill the deeds of the body and replace it with the things of God? Then what? You're going to be dancing with death. You'll be saved as by fire if you're saved. That's the other qualifier. Because some people think they're saved and they ain't never got saved. You know, you're supposed to bow your knee to Jesus Christ, and they did a little dip, did a curtsy, dip. Went up to the altar one day, wasn't that cute? We're talking about submitting, raising the white flag. I give up, okay, is what I'm talking about. Go to Psalms 37, please. Psalm 37, 23. We're talking about your task is to challenge, train yourself. Isolate those things inside you. That's where we get lost. Out here is where it's at. The devil roams around looking for whom he may devour. But you know what he looks for? Somebody who never works on disciplining themselves, casting out what's in and replacing with the word. That's what he looks for. Because he doesn't need teeth. You're a gummy bear. He can just gum you up all the pieces. And he knows you got nothing to fight him with. Because you just think you get it for grins. You don't have to do anything with it. This is free. But it is still a matter of, are you going to walk in victory? Or are you going to just limp along till Jesus calls you home? That sounds so lame. I don't want that. I want to walk with Jesus. You're supposed to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. I can't do that. But that word can do that.
Yes.
If I marry myself to that word and declare on the deeds of the flesh and replace it with the word, I can do this thing. If you take a look in here, in Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. You know, that's the secret that King David had. The word says that King David was a man who was perfect in all his ways, save in the matter of Uriah, the sweet psalmist of Israel. And if you know all of what happened with King David, as far as getting down with Uriah's wife when he was out doing war, and then deciding to go ahead and conspire to commit murder and send Uriah out and pull the troops back so he could get killed, I don't call that perfect where we come from. But the thing that David knew and the key that he had, what was revealed in here, and that's why it's throughout his word in Psalms. Yeah. And that is, yeah, you're going to fall once in a while, but you're climbing the mountain. You better be climbing the mountain, because remember, you're either going up or you're going backward. Yeah. But as you're climbing the mountain, fall forward, don't fall back.
Amen.
Fall into the arms of Jesus, don't fall back into your old life.
Yeah.
Fall into the arms of Jesus. That's what David did. Because when you go back in his Psalms, you go back and take a look at those. He'd take you right through it on some of those Psalms where you start out by saying, whoa, did he have a headache? Lord, where are you? I've cried to you. The heavens are brass. But you know what? Before he ever gets to the end of the chapter, he's dealing with his feelings. He's talking about how bad it's been at different times. And it does get that way at times. But before he gets to the end of the Psalm, he'll turn this thing around and say, but Lord, you're faithful. You're the one that I cry unto. You're the one that opens the clouds. You're the ones that inclines your ears to me. And even though I thought the heavens were brass, they're not brass. You are my beloved, and I raise my hands and worship you. If you hit the mat, bounce up. It's such a trite saying and a cliche, but the only between those that win and those that don't, the one that got up 1,001 times versus the one that fell down 1,000 times and didn't get up 1,000 times. It's that simple. That's the difference between those that make a difference, those that don't make a difference. That's the difference between those that the devil won't go looking to chew on. Because you're just going to keep getting up.
That's right.
You know them punching bags you can hit and it keeps popping up when you're a kid? Whop! Whop! The difference between that and whop! Deflate. One punch, the devil knows what he can get out of you. A pull toy. That's not what we're designed to be. We're designed to be overcomers.
Yes.
Look in Revelation what it says about him that overcometh will I make. Boop! Every one of those letters is ending that way. That's me. That's you. You want to be an overcomer? Not just somebody that got your name on the Lamb's Book of Life. That's good. But I want to be an overcomer. Turn to somebody and say, I want to be an overcomer. That's what I want to be. If you turn with me over here then to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. We're still talking about our task is to challenge and train ourselves with mental discipline according to the word of God. Cast out that which isn't in line, put in that which is. And here's the deal. It's been proven that when you go to change, and again, I'm saying target one particular thing. For me, early on, it was my mouth. I could use all 26 four-letter words more creatively than you could ever think. I was Picasso turned up 10 notches. I was raised in a longshore hall, old school longshore hall in the late 40s, early 50s, where my father was an old school longshoreman. And man, you I didn't even know the words I was using, but I knew these are the words you use when you're really mad. These are the words that'll just freak people out. Got me kicked out of yards. I still didn't know until I was about 10 years old. Are you kidding? I thought it was something you licked. It was candy. Think about that one later on. Okay. But in here, these are the kind of things that when you look in here, it says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11, now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Chastening is sort of the trip to the woodshed. Either a little one, a medium one, or a fairly big one. Grab the ankles, okay? But it's the Lord. Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Do you like the second part of that? The peaceable fruit of righteousness? You got to do the first part. Here's the part that's sort of the trick. If you take it upon yourself to challenge yourself in those targeted areas that God is probably going to have to chasten you with, guess what? You did a preemptive strike.
Yes.
You know what I'm talking about? I like doing a preemptive strike on some area that God is going to have to chasten me with, and I know it. I'm just shucking and jiving, hoping he doesn't catch up with me too soon because I can play around with that a while. Rather than that, face the thing, attack the thing, and kill it before he has to chasten you.
Yes.
I like that. Why not do that the easy way rather than him coming after it? And here it says right here in verse 12, wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and feeble knees. Notice the knees are feeble. Still act like they're good. Act on your faith. Act on your faith as best you can. We can't just run. I can't run like, you know, I bend over that time that I was dancing with my 7-year-old granddaughter and my wife put it on. Facebook and everything else. Supposed to be in a ballet class. But I thought, I said, I'm going to do the ugly dying swan. And I laid down and I thought, good luck, Chuck. What am I doing now? How am I going to get back up? I thought I was going to have to get a crane to get me back up off that floor. But my heart was into it. I was having a good time with my granddaughter. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down. Your hands, it's God-given in this life. You're going to have times where your hands are hanging down. By an act of your disciplined spirit, lift them up and praise God. Do you know what happens when that happens? The joy starts to build up again. The joy starts to build up. Can anybody say amen? When your hands are just there and your feet are all sort of slugging along, do a little jig, do a little dance, hop up and down, carry along, and you know, embarrass yourself in the grocery store, man. Look at all that crazy music going on in the background. I was around somewhere today where they had 1970s music, spirit going on up there. Man, I forget that. Forget that. I'm jigging around, talking to Jesus, having a good time. They don't know. They don't know. I'm not stealing anything. I'm not hearing anybody say, they didn't call the squirrel crowd to come and get me. I'm just having a good time with Jesus. It says, wherefore, lift up your hands which hang down on feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet. You, the topic here is you. You are to make straight paths for your feet. That's if you want to challenge yourself. If not, play on the tracks. The train will come. Train will come.
Yep.
You know, and you can depend on God to heal you, but you're going to get grunged up a bunch of times. I'd rather not go through the grunge process anymore. In here, and make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be, what's that last word?
Healed.
It's in your hands. God gave it to us. He gave us the authority and the power and the anointing and the promises. You know, Isaiah 53:5, 1 Peter, in 1 Peter it says, by his stripes we're healed. I don't know why it doesn't get healed every time, but you know what? Until somebody tells me different, I'm healed from the top of my head to the tip of my toes. And I'm not going to be walking around sucking lemons and, oh man, I just don't feel like I used to. Well, big deal, man. I'm 71. I'm not young. I'm not 21. But I feel really good about being 71. I mean, people look at me and say, what are you smoking, man? Gave that up a long time ago. Don't do that no more. Don't even smoke the front lawn. Nothing. Back in the day, you know, they used to say you could smoke banana peels and roll them up. Do you can believe that we actually did that back in those days? If they said that. But no, I'm on the joy of the Lord. I'm totally high on Jesus. I get up in the morning. I don't have a toe tag on. I got a young wife that loves me, we have beautiful grandchildren. We got great friends. Look around this church. Take a look around this church right now. Look at what you're blessed with. Look at what you're blessed with. People that don't want to get in your pocketbook and shuck and jive. You know, don't look at him now. He's a little strange here once in a while, but you know, but it's okay. He's a good man. You know, he's got a good thing going. But I mean, look at what we got. Look at what we got. Back in the day, we'd say, man, I'm with you forever. We knew we'd lie like a dog. I got you covered, man. If it goes down, I'm going down with it. Really? You get him in there with the cops and it starts going down. I don't know the guy. I don't even know the guy. No way. I'm not going down with nobody. That ship's sinking on its own. Turn with me, if you will, over to 2 Timothy 2. Still talking about challenging ourselves. 2 Timothy 2. 2 Timothy 2, verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Here, you know, Pastor Matt was talking about teach, teach, teach. Here it is, right here. Verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You teach somebody who teaches somebody who teaches somebody. There's a thought. How about that? That's what Paul put right in there and wrote it to Timothy. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endure it. Quit sniveling. Your mouth wasn't made for your thumb. It is for my granddaughter. It is for my grandbabies. It isn't made for us. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Did you get that?
Yeah.
If you entangle yourself with it, guess what? You're going to get messed up with it. Yeah. That's just the way it goes down, okay? That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he just strive lawfully. Lawfully means what? According to the principles of this word. According to the precepts in this word, go outside of that, you try to play your own game, you get your own lumps on your head. Don't blame God. Get disciplined about this thing and challenge what you need to challenge so you can get this thing off your back. Or you're going to be faced with what? Brace yourself. Now the deal is we don't even do a good job of that, bracing ourselves. We don't even do a good job of bracing ourselves. What's that old thing that's come up now? You know, one of the definitions of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different outcome.
Yeah.
By that definition, I think maybe we... At times have all qualified.
Yeah.
Sometime have all qualified. Yeah. Me, I have. Back in the day, say, why are people picking on me? You idiot, man. You walk around smelling, you know, rubbing stink all over yourself, smelling like a dead body, and you walk into a crowd and there's people looking at you like, man, you're weird. What are they looking at? You smell like a body, man. You smell like you belong in a casket, man. Casket, they smell better in there. At least they put perfume all over there, man. I'm serious. I smoke like a chimney, man, and I thought, how do they know I'm smoking? After I quit smoking when I got saved, I thought, holy mackerel. I mean, you can't even breathe if you get around some of that stuff. But that's the way sin is, isn't it? Until you begin to attack that one at a time, separate that, and put in the right thing, you don't even see it. Let God show it to you so you can attack this thing. Matthew 7, turn with me, will you? Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, brace yourself, but we don't. Matthew 7:24, it says, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, we've heard this before, but hang on, because there's a twist on it at the end of this thing that I want to pack in there. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew. And beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came. And the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that having authority and not as the scribes. He didn't just talk out his neck.
Yeah.
He didn't just talk about, let's have some intellectual day-to-day. Let's have some, let's act like we're just intellectual raconteurs. See, I know big names. Once in a while, I remember those. Raconteurs, we're going to get together and have our Starbucks and talk about, well, some people do this, some people do that. I don't care what some people, talk about the real thing. Talk about what Jesus says we're supposed to talk about if you're going to get this life straight. Turn with me over, will you, to Matthew 24. Matthew 24. Matthew 24, we've heard to build your house on the rock, not on the sand, but listen for a minute when we close this thing up. Matthew 24, verse 37, it says in here, but as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, there were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them all away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. It's talking about now.
Yes.
It's talking about now in terms of the world, and it's talking about now in a large percentage of the organized church. Party time, man, you better tighten it up. I'm not one that wants to say, just walk around sucking lemons. That does nothing. There's joy to be had. But if you can't find joy in something other than just pounding 40s, or you can't find joy in something other than just, you know, smoking your front lawn or whatever else is going on, you better get something straight, man. Because that ain't going to work when the flood comes. It just ain't going to work. Those kind of things are the things you've got to attack and replace. And I'm here to tell you, that's not coming from somebody that still doesn't have a blast with life. Yeah. I have a blast with life. It does it. We sit there and say, oh, it takes away the fun. It takes away the things that stand in the way of you enjoying what God really wants to bless you with. You're holding him back. He has all these answers to the prayers that you want. Just get out of the way. Kill one thing at a time. Replace it with the promise of God. And you watch what God will do in your life. Amen. You watch what God will do in your life, whatever it might be. In a closing passage here in Matthew 12. Matthew 12. Hang on tight. Because here's the thing. I don't know if you've ever noticed. I'm sure Pastor Matt and Pastor Crystal. You don't go in many churches and hear about Ananias and Sapphira. Oh boy. You know what makes it, and I'm not going to go there. We'll save that for Pastor Matt to have the anointing on him one day to deal with that one day. But I am going to go to one that is real sobering. I'm going to go to one here that's in Matthew chapter 12, verse 43 through 45. In here, do you know when you get, look up here for a minute, when you get born again, okay, you have the regenerative power of the Holy Spirit. Okay, that has transformed you spiritually so that your name is written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, okay? I don't want to get into the whole thing about, okay, what about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? But you do have the regenerative power of the Holy Spirit, where your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But the deal is, Romans 12, 1 and 2 was written to believers. So they already had that, but they had meatheads. It's this thing that's our big barrier between us and being able to walk in the Word of God. So when you look in here, look at this. See, when you get born again, a demon can't live in you when you have God living in you and you're born again. But he can sure oppress you and mess with your head. And man, I'm telling you, they can do a royal job, and you can have many of them that are doing it all the time, because they look for what? As the devil roams about looking who may devour, demons roam around looking who still has their business hanging out. They know they can't enter in because you're saved, but they could sure go, oh, there's one, look at that man, he still thinks that's funny. He still thinks that's fun. I'll show him what fun is. I'll show him what fun is. Let's go show this kid what fun is. Let's see if we can mess up his marriage, because he's just thinking it's cute to, you know, to talk about dirty jokes and about sex and everything else and just watch things. And let's go see. We can't get in, but we can sure mess with him. Watch this. When the unclean spirit, everybody say demons. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, in this case, gone out because you're born again, but gone away. Watch this. He walketh through dry places seeking rest, and he finds none. A demon ideally wants to inhabit a human being or an animal if he can't into a human being. If they can't do that, they sure want to oppress the living daylights out of you. They're not here just to sit on a beach. They're at the devil's run and what he does. And they're seeking rest and finding none. Then he saith, the demon, he saith, I will return into my house. They think they own you. Because, see, they did for a long time. They have a talk amongst themselves. Hey, you know what? I'm going to go back to my house from whence I came out. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept and garnished. See, remember now, if you're going to attack one thing at a time, the first step is what? Sweep it out and get it out. But the second part is what? Fill it up with God. If not, you just got a really clean landing spot for another demon to mess with your head. Did you hear what I just said? I'm speaking to some of us right now, because we've experienced some of that where we'll sweep it out. But if you don't pack it full of God and get it filled with that, that demon come back around and say, look at that, man. He's ripe. He's totally ripe again. Bring the gain, because look what happens here. Then goeth he, just doesn't come mess with you. Then goeth he and taketh with himself seven other spirits more wicked than himself. Oh, talk about a bad day at Black Rock. Seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter in and dwell there. Not in there, but they can oppress you. Seven stronger than himself come to oppress what you already had trouble with. It says, dwell there, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. Even so shall it be also unto this wicked generation.
Yeah.
Does that sound an alarm?
Yeah, should.
Does that bring to mind that the time for play is over?
Yeah.
Having fun in Jesus, I'm not talking about that. Having the fun you can have with the fellowship of the saints, I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about finally taking the things. I knew this mouth had to change. I attacked it. I knew that as far as I was concerned, I got nothing out of booze other than just getting blown out of shape and partying. For me, I just quit it. Now we can say, is it okay to drink wine? Well, he says it is. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying for me, and you know whether it's you or not, have you used it wrong in the past? Then why give the devil a place? So then when he comes back and you're doing good with everything else, he comes back and say, whoop, he's still a little loose with that. Seven big boys, come on.
Yeah.
Let's mess with him. Next thing you know, you got a lip lock on a 150 bottle of rum.
Yeah.
Oh, my liver just did handstands on that, baby, saying that. You know what I'm talking about? That's what happens. You got to take a look at these things. Or looking at different kinds of movies that you know you shouldn't be looking at. Going to different kinds of activities and recreation that you know stirs up the passions, stirs up the flesh and everything else.
Yeah. Yeah.
Come on, man. Are you supposed to be raising kids to be holy? What are they? And you say, well, I tell them what to do. Yeah, how did that work for you having a parent that said, do what I say, but don't do what I do? How did that work for you? That's like a red flag in front of a bull. Talk to the hand before they ever got that done. Because if you can't even try to walk some of it and try to give it a good effort, I'm not listening to you.
Yeah.
It took me till I was 31 before I finally realized I got to bury myself in the Word of God, come in, get real, discipline myself, challenge myself, so that I don't have to go through all that chasing. Do you know even when you partake of the communion, it says in there, examine yourself? Examine yourself, okay? And examine yourself means not just, do you have a grudge? We always say that. It means you have any sin anywhere because you're not supposed. It's better that you do not partake of the cup and the bread than to say, it's no big thing. Because read the rest of it. It says, because somebody didn't examine themselves, it says what? Many are weak, many are sick, and many sleep. You know what sleep means in the Bible?
Dead,
toe tag, done, down. And you say, well, God does that? God doesn't do any of that. He coaches you to finally challenge these things and deal with them so you can be blessed.
Yeah.
Treat the communion as holy as it's intended to be treated. Treat the word as holy as it's intended to be treated. And you will see blessings like you have never seen before.